Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
If you want to, and I hope you do, want to go to your Bibles and open them up to the Gospel of Mark chapter 5. Amen. I've titled this message tonight, Keep Up the Good Work. Keep up the good work. Did you ever had anybody tell you that before? You were doing something and you were excelling at it. You were doing it the right way. And they said, just keep up what you're doing. You don't have to change a thing. Yeah. Amen. You're doing it the right way. Yeah. Amen. And so, you know, it makes you feel good that you're doing something right. Yeah. Amen. But sometimes things change. And sometimes what we thought we were doing right, because of a lot of different things, we start to doubt it. We start to doubt what we're doing. And even though we were told what we were doing was correct and right and the proper way to go, now all of a sudden we decide, I don't know. It's not happening quite as fast as what I thought it would. Do you ever have one of those I thought moments? Where you've been doing the Word of God, you've been doing it properly, you've been believing God, you've been confessing the Word, you've been tithing, giving offerings, and doing all the things that you need to do. Amen. Amen. And you're believing God for something, but then all of a sudden, it just seems like things aren't going the way that you thought that they should. Amen. And so that's what we're kind of going to talk about tonight. Whenever you start out doing God's Word the way He wants it to do, and then all of a sudden, there's a change. And the change is not in Him. The change is in you and I. We're the ones who will cause ourselves to become derailed from the plan of God, because we're no longer doing it the way that He proposed it, and the way that He wants us to do it. Amen. For some reason, we think that we've got a better idea. And let me tell you something, folks, you are not Ford Motor Company. You do not have a better idea. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're gonna look at some things tonight. We're going to start out with the story, of course, of Jairus. Amen. And that's in Mark chapter 5. So let's look at that And we'll go on into some other things as time allows us to. Mark chapter 5, we're going to start with verse 21. It says, now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to Him, and He was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw Him, he fell at His feet, and He begged Him earnestly, saying, okay, my little girl lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed and will live. Amen. That's a pretty bold statement, isn't it? Hallelujah. And I was kind of pondering that and thinking about that, and I thought, you know what, if one of my children were at the point of death, would I leave their bedside? Would I venture out to try to find some preacher to pray for them? They're at the point of death. I mean, that's as close as you can get. You're just about ready to step over, cross over into eternity. Amen? So He was taking a very bold statement, and He was taking a very bold step by going out and finding Jesus and telling Him this. Amen? So we need to keep that in mind. He was declaring what He wanted to happen here. Amen? And it was pretty profound. Amen. You know, it's one thing where you come and pray for my daughter, she's got a sore throat. Well, you know, sure, we can do that. Let's just go and do that. But it's another thing whenever it says, my little girl's at the point of death. Yeah. She's just about to expire. Amen. And so you can see the anguish that's in his face. You can see maybe even a little panic in his voice, but he held himself together and declared something here. Amen. What he wanted to see. Now we need to keep that in mind, okay? And it says, so Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. Amen? For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Another faith statement here. Another person with faith. Amen? And if you look at other versions of it, in the Amplified, it says, for she kept saying. Amen? And in Matthew 9:21 in the Amplified, it says that she kept saying it to herself. Now, if you're going to have to convince someone that God's going to do something for you, who do you need to convince? You need to convince yourself. Amen? It doesn't matter that the neighbors have heard it and you went and talked to them. That is secondary. Amen? If you're going to see something happen that is monumental, life-changing, amen, you're going to have to be convinced yourself. And the only way that you can do that, amen, is to keep saying it to yourself. That God's going to do something here. The Word says it. Amen. I believe it, and so that settles it. Hallelujah. So she kept saying it to convince herself that God was going to do this. All I have to do, touch his clothes, touch the hem of his garment. That's all I have to do. I just have to go up there and do that, and I'll be healed. I'll be healed. As soon as I do that, I'll be healed. Not before that, not after that, but as I do it. Amen. Two people of faith getting Jesus' attention here. Amen. Hallelujah. So it's pretty intense right now of what's going on here. We got two separate lives in the balance here. Amen. I thought it was interesting that the lady had this issue of blood for 12 years and Jairus' daughter was 12 years old. I don't know why. I just thought that. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? Amen. Now, think about this. The woman, before she got this affliction, lived a normal life. Amen? Doesn't say how old she was. Amen? But she lived a normal life. She got to see a lot of things, enjoy a lot of things before the affliction started. Jairus' daughter, on the other hand, is only 12 years old. She hasn't seen much. Amen? She hasn't got to see a lot of different things yet because she's only 12. Hallelujah. But I thought it was interesting that Jesus, when she touched his clothes, he said, who touched me? And he said that later on, after she had told him everything, he said, woman, your faith has made you whole. Amen. I thought it was interesting that Jesus didn't tell her, I haven't got time to talk to you right now. I've got to get over to Jairus' house. Maybe you can write me a letter or email me sometime, but I don't have time to listen to your spiel. Come on now. Amen. Amen. Now, to me, that he did, he listened to the whole thing. Jairus is there saying, come on, we've got to go. Amen. That told me that Jesus did not put any precedent over one healing for another. They were both important to him. Even though this woman was much older probably, and this was just a little child, Hallelujah. Most people would tend toward the little child. But in Jesus' eyes, both were important. Why? Because there was a faith connection between both of them. If one hadn't had faith and the other one had, it would have been a whole different thing written in the Bible. Amen? But he needed a connection. Jesus needed a connection. Now here's another thing that I was thinking about. The woman with the issue of blood and her healing, I thought to myself, I wonder what that did for Jairus. I wonder what that did to help his faith and encourage him even more. Amen? I mean, people were rejoicing around her. And I'm sure he was probably glad. Yeah. Great. Amen? But I really think, this is just me, amen, you can think whatever you want. But I really think that Jesus used this as a tool to increase Jairus' faith, because what his daughter was going through at the time was much worse, much more intense than what the woman with the issue of blood had. I don't know. These are just my little thinkings. I think a lot, amen. Sometimes it don't amount to anything, but every once in a while it does. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so here's what we have here. We have this woman who has been healed. She knows in herself it's all done. I feel totally different. I'm no longer weak. Amen. I've got strength coming back into my body, because he's not just going to heal her and let her drag herself home. Amen. She's going to stand up. She's going to walk back home. She's going to have a skip in her step. She's going to whistle a tune. Amen. And thank the Lord the whole time. Hallelujah. Because whenever God heals you, you get the whole package. Amen. You get it all. Praise God. So here we are. She kept saying it. She was restored to health. Amen. And everything was going on. And then all of a sudden, I mean, at the time, everything was ecstatic. People were going bonkers. Amen. Jesus said in verse 34, let's look at this. He said, and he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Your faith did it. Amen. Her faith did it. Now look at this in verse 35. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house and said, your daughter is dead. Amen. While troubled the teacher any further. And here was another thing I thought about. Why was it a trouble to Jesus? Could it be that they were telling him, you were foolish to think that he could do anything in the first place? Don't be bothering him anymore. She's dead. She's past him being able to do anything for her. Amen? Now, if he'd have been a half hour earlier, she's gone. She's dead. That's the finality. Amen? There's no way of changing that. So don't be bothering the teacher anymore. Give up on this foolishness. Let's just go home and prepare the burial. Amen? That's what people will tell you. But look at this. I'm going to jump over, and I want you to look at this in verse 36, and I'm reading it on the Amplified now. He said, this is Jesus overhearing but ignoring what they said. He heard it, but he ignored it. He said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be seized with alarm and struck with fear. Only keep on believing. Now, how do you do that? You've just gotten news that the very thing that you were wanting to have done, you had faith. It might have been more hoping than faith. I don't know. But then all of a sudden they come and tell you it's done. Don't be troubled with the master anymore. What got Jairus to this place in the first place? What he spoke to Jesus. Come and lay your hands on my daughter that she may be healed and she will live. Amen. That's what caused Jesus to go with him. Jesus remembered those words. Amen. He was telling Jairus, do you remember what you just told me? Just a little bit before this, however long it might have been. Amen. Do you remember it? Do you remember what you said? Do you remember? He said, you got to keep on believing. Amen. You got to keep on believing what you started out saying. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me tell you, from experience, I've been one to waver. Amen. Believing God, strong in faith. Amen. Strong in power and faith and end up as flower and paste. Amen. Hallelujah. No initiative to stay with it. Right, right. Amen. If you're truthful, you've probably been there too. Hallelujah. Because I think everybody has. Circumstances have a way of putting pressure on you to change what you've been believing. That's exactly what happened to Jairus. The circumstances changed. Everything. The hope that he had was no longer there in the natural. She was gone. Amen. But Jesus said, keep on believing. I haven't changed. I am the Lord, I change not. Amen. I'm not, just because they tell you she's dead, I'm not there yet.
Right. Amen.
Amen. So he said, keep on believing. Just stay with what you were doing. Amen. Keep up the good work. Don't start to shift gears or change direction now. Keep going just like you were. I don't understand. You know why you don't understand that? Because you and I would try to figure that out with our head. It just is not going to compute with it. Amen. Because faith is not born in your head. It's born in your heart. Amen. And so whatever the circumstances are, you've got to say this. They're subject to change. No matter what they are. No matter how dire they may be. They are still always going to be subject to change. Hallelujah. Well, how are they going to change? By you staying just like you were. Amen. Satan is determined to get you off course. Do you know that? Amen. Hallelujah. So that was the key. That was what he was trying to put into him. Wrong thoughts. Amen. The Lord spoke this to me one time, not that long ago. He said, thoughts can never overpower spoken words of faith. Thoughts can never overpower spoken words of faith. Amen. So if you said something in faith, just stay saying that. Amen. No matter what, you know, you can think of something, but as soon as you start to say something, what you were thinking is no longer there. Amen. You can count to 10 in your thoughts, just one, you know, and then out loud say your name. What happened to your counting? It stopped. Because spoken words always overpower thoughts. Amen. So it doesn't matter what the thought is. It doesn't matter what they were trying to plant into Jairus' mind, Jesus said, keep on believing the very first thing you told me. You keep saying that. You keep speaking that and nothing else, no matter how much pressure comes against you. Amen? You know, you think about whenever Jesus went back to Nazareth, you know, and he was wanting to do miracles there. I mean, he has had a barn burner there, didn't he? Couldn't do a thing, could he? And it says in Mark 6, I believe 6, it says, and he marveled at their unbelief. Hallelujah. He wanted to. He wanted to do all kinds of things for them. But he has laid his hands on a few sick folk. Amen. Hallelujah. So he had to keep on believing. You cannot change with the circumstances. You cannot be like it says in Ephesians 4:14, as children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine or every word, every thought that you think. Amen. Not every thought you think is a good thought. It's not pure and holy. Amen. It's stupid, dumb. Amen. That's why it tells us that we got to cast down every imagination or anything that would try to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. You've got to. Who's going to do it? You. I can't open up your head and look inside there. I wouldn't want to anyway. Lord knows what's in there. Amen. But you can. By just any time a thought comes, say something. Don't think something else, because you can't fight thoughts with thoughts. You can only fight thoughts with words. Spoken words. Amen. You have to speak it. That's why whenever, I think Keith Butler said this, that whenever he reads the Bible, he always speaks it. He never just reads it. He always speaks it. Because he needs to hear the word. Amen. And that's a good thing to do, because you know you can sit and you can read. There's nothing wrong with reading the word of God. Amen. But it's whenever you speak the word of God, that's what makes all the difference. Amen. Hallelujah. So faith, patience, and the ability not to change course when new circumstances come is the key to receiving from God. Stay steady. Stay moving forward. Amen. Hallelujah. You cannot have a plan B. Has anybody ever had one of them? You know, God's not working quite as fast as you thought, so maybe this is what we need to do. You know, that's what got Abraham and Sarah in a lot of trouble. Yeah. Amen. That's what got the Israelites in trouble, because, see, they wanted a king just like every other nation had. And Samuel said, no, you don't want none of that. Yeah, we do. So what did God do? He said, let them have what they want. He'll always yield to your plan. He will never circumvent what you decide to do. Amen. Do I wish he had of? Oh, many, many times. But he's not going to do it. He'll always yield to your plan. Always. Amen? Amen. Well, this is good to know, isn't it? Hallelujah. How many of you already learned something? Well, of course you're going to say you have, because I may go back over this again. You don't want to do that. Let's go to James chapter 1. God's a good God. He is so full of mercy, compassion, and love for us. Amen. Hallelujah. So it's really, really important for us to get a hold of this. James chapter 1. Did I tell you that? I heard some murmuring out there. Oh, all right. Okay. Hallelujah. Let's look at something here. Amen. Time's getting away from me already. James chapter 1, we're going to start with verse 2, and it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing or proving of your faith produces patience. Hallelujah. So how do you know that you have faith? when it's tried. If your faith is never tried, you probably don't have faith. Amen. It's true. So the testing of your faith produces patience, but you got to let patience have its perfect work. So patience isn't just for a season. Patience is from the beginning all the way to the harvest. You've got to stay. You can't quit having faith halfway through, can you? Well, you can't not have patience all the way through as well. They're arm in arm, locked together, moving this thing along to the harvest. Amen? Hallelujah. So you got to let patience have its perfect work, its maturing work. Get you seasoned. Amen? Oh, we've had all kinds of faith failures because we're not seasoned. What do you mean by seasoned? Well, you haven't put in the time, you haven't paid the price, you haven't done the things that needed to be done yet. Amen. You're just floating around thinking that God's going to do anything for you no matter what it is. But that's not true. Amen. Because first of all, it's got to be according to His will. It's got to be according to the Word of God, which we'll look at here in just a moment. Amen. So you can't just float around doing all these things. You got to let patience have its perfect work. Then in verse 5, he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally. The wisdom of God is going to show you and give you understanding of how to react when trials come. Amen? Because a lot of times, we don't know how to react. Especially maybe, Here's a prime example. Whenever Brittany was 5 years old and she fell off of the top of the slide down to asphalt, she had a concussion, she had a brain bleed and all kinds of different, broken arm, all these wonderful things. Amen. So we take her to the Band-Aid station in Perry County before we finally had sense enough to move her somewhere else. Amen. Yeah. But anyway, so we called our families, and whenever her mom and them get there, I was not born again. I was not saved. We were not in church. We were not serving God or anything like that. Whenever they get there, I start talking to them, and I fold up like a cheap chair, bawling, squalling. I don't know if they're going to make it or not. Don't laugh. You've done the same thing before you got born again, and you know better. Amen? But the wisdom of God would have shown me something different of how to say it and what to say. Instead of terrifying them, I could have instilled trust in God, faith in God, faith in what the doctors were going to do. Amen? They had a part to play too, Hallelujah. It just so happened that she had a very good surgeon, one of the best. Hallelujah. He did an excellent job. Hallelujah. Huh? She didn't have to ask her. No. No, she did. Well, they did something. They set her arm. Okay, they set her arm. No, but she looked pretty rough for a while. She had black eyes. She looked like a raccoon for a while. And everything like that. But hallelujah.
3 days.
Came out.
2 or 3 days, she's
back home. Back home. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. I don't know why I wanted to say that, except that wisdom is what you need to get through the trials. Amen. Hallelujah. So you got to look at it this way. You started out believing God for something. How did you do that? What'd you base your faith on? The Word of God. Yeah. So you took the Word and you started to sow it in your heart. Amen. You started speaking the Word, I hope, not just thinking about it or whatever some do. But you start to plant it. You start to plant it in your heart. Amen?
Amen.
The sower sows the word. You got to sow it in your own heart before you can ever sow it in someone else's. Amen? And so we see that we need to take what the word has given us and start to declare it so that we can be sure. You're building your house on the foundation of the rock then. Amen? So suppose it doesn't take place exactly when you thought it needed to come. What's going to happen then? What are you going to do then? Amen? You know, now you're unsure. Now you start asking questions like, why is it taking so long? Have I missed it? Was I being presumptuous? Amen? Maybe I need to do it another way? All of these things are faith killers. It's okay to have questions as long as they are asked in faith. You can ask questions in faith. Amen? But whenever you start to just rethink what you're doing because it's not exactly on your timeline, do you see that? Amen? You're going to have to understand that you got to go back to where you were at the beginning. What did you base it on? Amen? You based it on the word. That's what you were standing on. Hallelujah. You know, it tells us in 1 John 5, verses 14 to 15, it says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, what happens? He what? He hears us. And then it goes on to say this, and if we truly believe that he hears us, then we will have the petitions that we have asked of him. Amen? So that's what you base it on. You based it on the word of God. You based it on what the word has said. You don't base it on what someone else has done and they had results. You don't do that. Amen? Because you're not them. And you probably aren't going to have the same result. Amen. So just because, you know, someone has good success in one area, don't try to duplicate that unless God tells you to duplicate that. Amen. You got to have confidence in what the Word has said and what the Word does say. Amen. And if you have questions, ask God in faith, you know. Hallelujah. All right, got to start closing up here. Let's go back into the Old Testament to Habakkuk. Amen? Everybody knows this one. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen? Habakkuk was an Old Testament prophet, waiting for the redemption of Israel. He knew it was coming. But look what happens in verse 2 of chapter 1. He says this. He says, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and you will not hear? Even cry out to you violence, and you will not save. In other words, how long are you going to turn a blind eye to what these people are doing to your nation, to your people? Amen? Even if I was to point it out to you and said, this is what they're doing, it says, you'll not answer it. You'll not hear me. Amen? He was at that place. Things were not going the way that they should have went. Hallelujah. And then it goes on into verse 12, and look at this. Then he says this. This is his second question. He says, are you not from everlasting? O Lord, my God, my Holy One, we shall not die. Well, he gets a hold of himself, doesn't he? Oh, Lord, you have appointed them for judgment. Oh, rock, you have marked them for correction. Hallelujah. Amen. So, yes, he has some issues. Yes, he has some questions, and they weren't faith questions. They weren't building him up. And then all of a sudden he says, wait a minute. You are my God, the Holy One. Yeah. That changes everything. Amen. Sure, you may be going through something and you're standing in faith and you may have asked a question like Habakkuk did at the first. How long, Lord? How long? And then all of a sudden, wait a minute, from deep down inside of you, something starts to come up. Wait a minute, you are my God. You're my God. Amen. You're not going to let any of my enemies triumph over me. Hallelujah. So that's what needed to be done. Amen. And then in chapter 2, verse 1, this is all so very real to us. It says, I will stand my watch. In other words, I'm going to take my place. I'm going to be in the place that I need to be. Okay? And set myself upon the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. Do you see that? It's for an appointed time. Amen. But it says, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it. Just because it didn't happen when you thought it would, that doesn't mean God's not in it anymore. That doesn't mean that God walked away from it. Amen. It's for an appointed time. And you need to wait. You need to have patience. You need to keep your faith stirred up. You need to go back and look what you wrote down and run with that again. Amen. Instead of boo-hooing that it didn't happen, well, it just didn't happen that way. Well, I want to tell you something about God. He never does things the way you think. He has always, I mean, I've gave out some, you know, some little hints to God before, you know. Well, wouldn't it be nice if it came this way or that way? He's never used one of them. Not nary a time. And they were, some of them were fairly good, I thought. But he didn't like them. You know why? Because if it had happened that way, I would have gotten the glory. God's not going to have that. And I wouldn't want him to. I want him to do it his way. Amen. It says, because though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Hallelujah. That reminds me of the story of in Daniel, when Daniel prayed, amen. And it was 21 days before he got his answer. But what did the angel say to him? From the very first day that you set your heart to understand, it was heard. You and I don't think God hears until we see it. He heard it from the very beginning. If you were speaking it in faith. Amen. If you're speaking in faith, that first time that you prayed that, he heard it. And he started acting on it at that time. Same thing happened to Daniel. Amen. It was 21 days before the angel could get there with the answer because he was being held back by the prince of Persia. Amen. And he got Michael to help him so that he could get there and deliver this message. Though it tarries, wait for it. Well, I prayed last week. I don't guess God cares. Well, I just don't guess it's going to happen. Well, I guess we'll just have to figure out something else. Amen. Well, you're going to be thinking a long time. You're going to be with heartache with it. Amen. If you just wait. Amen. If you just wait just a little bit longer, folks. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to have to really, really move on here. You know, we think about this. We'll not go there for time's sake. But in Romans chapter 4, we use the example of Abraham's righteousness, you know, faith being accounted to him as righteousness, right? And how he, God, you know, in verse 17, he said that God calls saints that be not as though they were. He called him the father of many nations. Then it says that without hope, I can't remember how it was. So, Bible scholar, help me.
Who against hope believed in hope.
Who against hope believed in hope. The first hope is natural hope.
Right.
Amen. The second hope is hope connected with faith.
Yes.
He believed that. He considered not his own body now dead.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You don't do much with a 100-year-old body.
Right.
No, no. Hallelujah. We'll leave that alone. But it says that he grew strong in faith. How? Giving glory to God. It was always before him. He was always thinking about it. Amen. How God was going to do it. It didn't happen overnight. How long did it take? 25 years. From the time he was 75, when God first spoke to him, until the realization, it was 25 years. Amen? But God has a perfect timing. Do you see that? Hallelujah. So Abraham went about his business. He wasn't consumed with when's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? He just lived out his life, thinking about it, glorifying God because he knew that he was well able to do what? Perform it.
Amen.
If anybody was going to do it, it would be God.
Yes.
He would be the one who'd do it. Amen? You know, I think a lot. I was thinking about, you know, whenever the angel of the Lord came to Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? Everybody knows who Mary is, right? Okay. I just wanted, you never know anymore. Hallelujah. Well, it was Jesus' mother. And the angel Gabriel came to her and spoke to her and told her that she was going to conceive. And she said, how's that going to happen? I've never been with a man. And he said, the Holy Ghost is going to overshadow you. Amen?
Amen.
So what did she say? Ah, you're full of it. Is that what she said?
No.
She said, be it unto your handmaid, as you have spoken. Amen? And then it says this, and I like this. It says that she pondered all these things in her heart. Do you know what one of the meanings of the word ponder is? It means to come into union with. The more she thought about it, the more real it became to her. The more Abraham thought about him being the father of many nations, the more real it became in his heart, in his thinking, in what he saw, what he spoke. Amen? He wasn't bogged down with the when and how. He just knew that there would be and it shall come to pass.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. That's the whole thing right there. You've got to let God be God. Let God do it His way. Just thank Him for it. Amen? You don't have to keep asking Him every day for it. Ask Him in faith and then praise Him for it. From that point on. Amen? Praise Him for it. Hallelujah. But that's good preaching, isn't it? Praise God. So that's how you keep going about doing the good work. Keep it up. Just keep it up. Amen. I want to go to this. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 6. And Pastor Mark was just talking about this with the offering tonight. But I'm just going to read it to you because it's really, really important. I'm going to read out the Amplified Bible. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. In the Amplified, it says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget or overlook your labor and the love with which you have shown His for His namesake in ministering to the needs of His saints, as you still do." So God doesn't forget anything. Whenever you're doing something for Him, He remembers it. Amen? Yeah. Now look at this in verse 11. He says, "But we do strongly and earnestly desire for each of you to show the same diligence." Amen? If you're doing something for God, God doesn't forget about that. Amen? And you've got to yourself understand God does not forget. Amen? It says that He remembers every offering that you give. Amen? It says to show the same diligence and sincerity. And then it says this all the way through. "In realizing and enjoying the full assurance and development of your hope until the end." Amen. You just got to stick with this thing. Don't give up. I've gave up on things before. I've just said, "Oh, well." And then all of a sudden, here's the worst part about it. Whenever I first believed God for it, it was important to me. And then as time goes on, let's move on. Amen. Man, that's the worst thing you do. God has heard you. He's preparing stuff for you. Now all of a sudden, what He prepared you don't want?
Right.
Amen. He went to all the trouble to do all this, to set all these things up, and now you just walk away from him. Whatever. Do you see that? So you got to develop your hope until the end for this purpose, in order that you may not grow disinterested. Amen. Well, let's move on and become spiritual sluggards, but imitators behaving as do those who through faith, by their leaning on the entire personality of God in Christ, in absolute trust and confidence in His power and wisdom and goodness, and by practicing patience. The practice of patient endurance and waiting are now inheriting the promises. So these folks that Paul is talking about here, they went through a lot to get what they got, stuck with it all the way to the end. It should be no different for us.
Amen.
Amen? If we're not getting what we're believing God for, there has to be a reason. There has to be something that is holding it up. And it's not God. Amen? It's you and I. Do you see that? We've got to stick with this thing. I'm going to just read these to you real quick. 2 Timothy 2:3 says this, "We must endure hardship as a good soldier in Jesus Christ." You got to be able to endure some things. Amen? And not cry and bawl and squall whenever something doesn't go right. 2 Timothy 4:7 says, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith." Amen? The meaning of the word "kept" there means to guard from loss by keeping an eye on it. Keep an eye on it. It's your responsibility, my responsibility. Amen? To do these things. And then Philippians 3:14 says this, "I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus." You got to press on. Just don't give up. So it hasn't happened yet. Big deal. Amen? It's going to happen. It shall surely come to pass. Though it tarries, wait for it. Do you see that? Amen. Don't give up just because it hasn't happened in 2 weeks. Amen. It might take you 2 weeks just to get your head on straight before you even ask. I just wanted to encourage us all tonight because it's so important that we just don't give up, that we just don't let things slide by, say, oh, well, you know. And what we're doing is that we're dishonoring our Father because we don't believe He can do what He said He would do. Amen. That's not a good place for us to be. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.